It's time to step in the green room.
Life's a garden, dig it. You make it work for you.
It's the intro that's so nice, we play it twice.
It's time to step in the green room.
Life's a garden, dig it. You make it work for you.
And with that, we go to the phone lines and bring in Susan Fox. Susan, good morning.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
Good. How are you doing on this 19th day of January?
I'm doing great. The sun is shining, and it's not 9 below like it was about 10 days ago. And the temperatures are fluctuating. How about you in beautiful Chicago?
Oh, well, it's wait, let's see. I've got the temps right here. It tells me, isn't that lovely, that it is 12 degrees. Nope, it's up to 15.
You know, wow, with the polar vortex fluctuation, who knows now what's going on. But I sure do miss being right next to Lake Michigan. You know, I grew up right there along the lake. So
No, I didn't know that.
Yes, I did. I grew up 1 mile from the lake on the beautiful North Shore.
And where are you now?
I'm in South Central Illinois. And, you know, I was just looking up, because it's so important when you're putting in any kind of a garden, I was looking up your plant hardiness zone, because Chicago is in plant zone 5A. So, and that's
well, most people, I think, in Chicago would consider it 5B. And it depends where you are in the city, of course. If you're along the lake, some people say it's even zone 6. Now, they got a rude awakening if they put zone 6 plants out in the fall to survive this winter. It's going to be an interesting spring.
Absolutely, because I wrote a post this fall. It was I happen to be a gardener who likes to plant my roses in the spring, so I did a huge test. I planted over 30 roses in the fall, and I can't wait to write about really what survived, Mike, because I moved from Texas. I had a corporate job, and I ended up living in Texas from 19. I relocated from Chicago to New York City and from New York City to Dallas, Texas from 1987 until just 2 years ago to South Central Illinois. And it's been very mild, as you know, here for the last couple of years, and now it was -9, and that's the winter that I put roses in. And I had over 200 roses in Texas, so I really had an opportunity to go from 200 roses in Texas and learning how it's just like another world from having roses in right there along the lake and in black dirt, and then growing them in Texas gumbo, and then relearning here. They call this sandy loam. It's a completely different world here. And then a winter that it went to 9 below. So, and planting for the first time in the fall. So I'll be writing a complete post on how these roses really survive this winter. It'll be very interesting. But the roses that I did put in were some test roses from Minnesota. I don't know, your listeners should be very interested as I am. They were developed by Dr. David Slezak. He does test roses in Minnesota, and they're called the Oh So Happy series. And they're, I believe, they're proven winners, and they're distributed by Spring Meadow, I believe.
You know what? I believe I have one of those, Oh So Easy.
Yeah, Oh So. Well, I think they're called Oh So Happy series. And
what's the Oh So Easy then?
I think it's the same thing, Oh So Easy and Oh So Happy.
Shrubs. Yeah, I have the paprika, okay?
They're shrub. They were developed to be winter hardy, easy care, earth kind, and it'll just be very, I'm very interested to see. But I did cover them. I mean, if you're going to plant in the fall, you really want to take precautions that I covered them with lots of mulch and leaves, and they even recommend that you cover as much as possible with a combination of dirt. So just think here, the first time ever I decide, okay, I'm going to go ahead and do the fall planting. I had spoken to the Twin Cities Rose Club, and met Dr. Slezak. He's just a brilliant researcher, and he sent me about five of his, you know, roses that are still named like number seven, and I put those in, and I'm...
Wait. Did you say that the rose is named number seven?
Right.
You know that...
And that's because it's still in research?
Gosh, that's catchy.
Yes. Yeah.
And then once... Once at one point does it get a name?
Yeah,
and it's something that they want to do again and again and again.
Yes, a couple of them just have you know, numbers on them, and I'm so excited. So
I have a number seven. I'm shooting for a number eight or nine myself. If I can get my hands on one of those.
Right. And so, but then I got about 25 of the Oh So Happy. You know, these Oh So Happy series with just wonderful little names. And, you know, that's what I was going to tell you. In January, you have so much work to do. It's planning. I order rose labels because if you show roses like I did for years and you enter a show and you miss, if you don't name or have your rose named correctly, you are disqualified. And if you ever have that happen once.
Have you had that happen?
Yes, actually, it was when I was in Chicago, and it was in Northeastern Illinois. At the time, they were named the Northeastern Illinois Rose Society, and they're still in existence. You know, Dr. Andy Plaz is still, he was one of my mentors, and it was the Libertyville Men's Garden Club that I owe so much to.
They have amazing roses up in Libertyville.
Yes, and, you know, they... when I inherited my mother's rose garden, that's where I first went to Libertyville Men's Garden Club, and some of those people were just amazing, and some of them most of them were scientists and took me under their wing. This was many, many years ago, and taught me how to, you know, all of their secrets and encouraged me to show roses, and I went all the way to win the national trophy with these.
Wow. You know, and I'm trying to imagine the scientists taking you under your wing, under their wing, and they're walking you along and saying, walk this way, Susan.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, one of the rosarians called himself an octogenarian rosarian, and he was 88 years old.
Wow. It's like, you know. Go ahead. Sorry.
Well, I was just going to say, do you remember the character Tim Conway played that just shuffled along years ago?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And he was the sweetest man, and I would have to wait for the next word for him to speak it. He was just, he could speak slowly, but he had so much information, and that's how I learned these great gardening secrets. And
and what they were teaching you was
science.
Yep, science.
Well, exactly. But he encouraged me. His name was Lynn Arthur, and you know, I looked up because he passed away years ago, and I looked up. I think there's things, gardens out there in Libertyville named after him now. I just did a search.
I have to ask my colleague, Lisa Albrecht, how do you know about the roses in Libertyville?
Well, because I went to Antioch High School, and we used to play sports in Libertyville, but I also worked at Condell Medical Hospital, which is in Libertyville as well, when I was in college. And so I've spent a lot of time in Libertyville. It's a really adorable little town. As a old main street.
I've been there. Oh, yeah,
I love Libertyville.
Been to Libertyville.
Oh, and they have the Rose Garden right in the
But I've never been to
courtyard.
Heaven. but I've been to Oklahoma. All right. Susan Fox, by the way, you should know if you're going to follow her on Twitter, it's Gaga's Garden. Now, I have to ask you, where does the name Gaga's Garden from? Is that like a thing for grandma or something?
Well, you know, when my first grandchild was coming into the world, all the other grandmothers, and you know, now that's, you know, they say that I'm sure you've heard this, that the new 50 is like, or 50 is the new 40, and 60 is the new 50 as we all get older, and all the other grandmothers, they're young and lively, and all of them in my family claim the cool names, like, and they demanded, they said, they're going to call me Mimi, and they're going to call me Gigi, and all
of them
were well, if you're not a grandparent, this is important with the grandmother.
Of course it is. You've got your name. I mean, if you're Polish, you want to be Busha, you know?
Exactly. Right. So all the cool names, Mike, were taken. So I didn't have one. And I said, well, I'll just let her, I'll let Gabrielle call me whatever she wants to call me. It'll just evolve. And so I was taking care of her quite a bit. And I just started saying, Grandma, Grandma. I must have said it 10,000 times. Repetition is a good tool of learning. And so one time, and she just talked very early, and one time on the phone, I called her house, and she said to me, hi, doggy. And I thought, doggy? I really don't know if I can live with that. And, you know, I just adore this child, and I thought, doggy? Can I really live with doggy?
Not something that can stick, no.
I mean, so I thought, well, you know, you if you don't have a grandchild yet, I thought, whatever. But, you know, she had a doggy and I wasn't it. So it evolved to the next one that I didn't know if I could live with, Gaggy. I thought, Gaggy, that's not even much better. And then she came around, and this was before there was a famous, another famous lady of that other name, but it evolved to Gaga. And so when there was another famous person in the world named Gaga, they sent me the, I'm looking at it right now, the Wall Street Journal article, and that the music company when Lady Gaga became famous. And I'm like, what? You know, how did this happen? So that's how I became Gaga. And the whole family calls me Gaga, and my grandson can't say Gaga, so he started calling me Dada. And now they just shortened it to Da. So now I'm like,
you're Da. I like the idea of being Dada. You know, that works, is, you know, a Dadaist. So and the person we're talking to, Gaga, Dada, Gaggy, Googie.
Exactly.
Whatever, you know, whatever works is Susan Fox. And you can follow her at Gaga's Garden on Twitter. You can also go to Gaga's Garden. And by the way, that's spelled GAGASgarden.com if you want to go to her site. Now, I want to get to some practical information for our folks, but quickly, like in a couple of minutes. Your new book has just come out, Four Seasons of Roses, 2014 Monthly Guide to Rose Care. And you write on your website about why you wrote the book. Give us that lesson in about 2 minutes.
You know, Mike, every single person, you know, I thought that I have talked to that sees roses, they say, I want roses. I want to add roses to my garden or have a rose garden. And I speak at so many different events. And when I say, well, why don't you have roses? And without exception, people will say it's because they either don't know how or they think that roses are difficult. So I felt a need to create a piece that gave people things to do to show people that growing roses really is easy. So this is a monthly guide to show people that it's really easy to grow roses. So it's a monthly step-by-step guide to rose care. And also it encourages people to get involved in a community of rose growers, just like I did. So either get online and find out where your local American Rose Society or Rose Club meets. And, you know, and I put in the website. I'm a consulting rosarian, and consulting rosarians take a pledge to help people any way that we can to learn more and educate people about growing roses. We're very serious, and we take that pledge about assisting gardeners in rose growing. So it's all through the book and with my website, it's how to contact other gardeners and rose growers, and that's what we do. We assist people in learning how to grow better roses. So,
I didn't know you had to take a secret oath. Do you also have a secret handshake of the Rosarian?
Yes, I do.
And of course, with because Rosarians are practical jokers, you put thorns in your hand when you shake hand, the secret handshake, just so people are surprised. It's like having a joy buzzer there.
Only the rookies.
You know what they say about, and it's really true, when I grew that rose garden in Texas and everything's bigger and badder in Texas, I stepped on a thorn once in Texas that went right through my shoe and all the way through and
yikes.
Poked me.
Well, and you mentioned something about Texas before. You said gumbo. Now, here in Chicago, we're used to alkaline clay soil. You said downstate you've got the sandy loam, which I think some people in Chicago would just die for to have that. What's gumbo in Texas?
It's just clumpy, almost pure red clay. That's why they call it. That is known as Texas gumbo, and it's full of rich nutrients if you can, but it's not accessible because it's just gooey red clay. So I worked with Mark Shambly of Shambly Roses, that he's very involved with the Texas Nursery and Landscape Association, and he actually gave me a formula that you can add expanded shale and sand and some soil amendments that will help break up that Texas gumbo and make it workable and turn it into a rich, accessible soil for roses. So,
yeah, I know that Oklahoma has that red clay, and there are other parts of the country that have that, and I imagine that's pretty nasty stuff, especially if you're tracking it into your house.
Also, Mike, you know, I just want to mention, too, because you said we're talking roses in January, and the most important thing you can do in January is plan. And one quote that I think was really powerful is, and it's accredited to Eisenhower, and he said, plans are nothing, but planning is everything. And the spring comes really quick, and you can do so much planning, and it really is important to find out what your zone is. And I was so spoiled living by Chicago and in a major metro area, and moving out here, most of the roses that I wanted, I could not get. And if most of your listeners are in a metro area, it was a learning experience moving where I may as well be. I feel like I moved to the hinterlands. So now to get those roses, I have to order bare root.
That's what I was going to say. Aren't we in a situation where you can get anything you want via the internet?
Yes, you can. But you can't. I can't go and get a potted. You know, if you're looking and used to getting a great big, beautiful potted rose that's all sprouted out, then if you're in the hinterlands like I feel like now. I order. And most of those shippers of those great roses, they will help you determine what your zone is, and they don't ship until after that last possible freeze date. But you can order right now. So, and many of them, if you don't order right now, they're out of the roses that you want. So the most important tip that I can give your listeners is get online. You know, one of the great, I love Weeks Roses. They've got a gorgeous catalog online, just absolutely beautiful, and you can shop online and get your orders in. And also Star Roses and Plants have a beautiful, and if you like that Oh So Happy series, I know it's Spring Meadow Nurseries, I think, is where those roses are sold, and you just shop online. And
I gotta tell you, that rose is remarkable. I only have four, and one of them is a rambler that was on the fence when I moved in, and it, you know, blooms once a year in June, and then it's done. And then I have only three other roses on my property. That Oh So Easy rose, the paprika, is a champ. You can do anything to it, and it comes back, and it blooms all summer. You know, it does this first. Hello. Are you okay? Do you need to put in more quarters?
I'm sorry. I was trying to make sure that I was giving you the right, and I'm sorry for that dinging.
No, that's okay. It's very pleasant, actually.
I'm trying to make sure I was giving you the right information there, so I was checking.
Feel free to do that. We want to make sure we have the right information here. And if you want to play some tunes there while we're talking, that's all right. I was just going to say, but that rose does well. I have Home Run red rose.
Yes.
I love
yeah,
that rose.
That's a very good rose.
Oh, absolutely. My goodness. That's another one that just performs and performs, and you can cut it back and it comes back and it's beautiful. And I'll tell you, I cheat with that one because it doesn't have 6 to 8 hours of sun. It's in the front of my house. It's got some trees around it, and it still does great. We're not supposed to encourage people to cheat on their sunlight. I know that, but people do all the time anyway. I think that's something that, you probably are aware of, Susan Fox, that, you can get away with it a little bit. You shouldn't push it too far, but, some of these roses will perform in amazingly difficult, situations, won't they?
Mike, that's absolutely true. Just a really quick story. You know, leaving Illinois and then going to Texas, I built a new house and I said, okay, now I'm going to put in my dream rose garden. So I did the elevated bed. I brought in all the soil amendments. I put in the perfect watering system. And I told my neighbor, this is what I'm doing. And she thought that that's what she needed to do. And she walked up to the front yard and I'm digging a hole. And I'm putting in I wanted to put some roses there, and it was shady out there, and they weren't going to get maximum sun. I dug a hole, I stuck in a rose, threw some peat moss in, and she walked up, and she's a very literal person, and she practically accused me of fibbing to her, like I was giving her misinformation so her roses wouldn't be as pretty. And I mean, I just laughed so hard. I'm like, no, I mean, they're going to be fine. Of course. The ideal circumstances for the backyard garden, you know, I had the opportunity to do that, and they're going to be fine. And she said, and the sprinklers are going to get on these roses. And you said that you had a drip system back there. And I said, sure, Anna, I know, but I'm going to put these, I dug a hole in the ground, stuck them in the ground, and they were magnificent. So, you know, you're right. They probably got 4 hours of sun, and the only difference, they didn't bloom quite as prolifically, but
right.
They were absolutely just fine. And, you know, that's what I want to tell people.
Well, you know, we should tell people, it's like, don't try this at home. We're professionals, okay? Do not try this at home. We can handle it. You can't. But listen, okay, before we wrap up here, like you said, spring will be here soon, despite the weather today and the fact that we got a couple of inches of snow last night, and it's 15 degrees right now in Chicago. Spring will be here quickly. And I think, you know, one of the first things one of the first products that garden centers put out are roses. And
exactly.
That's because you can work them pretty early in the season. What's your rule of thumb on that?
I don't know. What do you mean?
Well, I mean,
do not put them out. They are most tender. The new plants are the most tender. If you think that there's going to be a frost, a late frost, and I harp on this. I mean, if you go to my blog, I planted 1 year in Texas, and it fooled me into going ahead and pruning too early, and I put in 14 new rose bushes. And then I went to California, and I came back, and there had been a late nor'easter. And it killed all the new growth and killed every single one of the new roses that I put in.
Wow.
Do not. If you're going to go ahead and plant those roses and there's any chance of a late, hard frost, you better cover them up. So that, I cannot stress that enough, because the newest plants that you put in are the most tender. So even if your shipper ships those roses and you go ahead and plant them, then protect them. Protect, 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 because I know how late. I mean, look at the difference. In Illinois, roses I can remember could bloom as late as Father's Day. In Texas, I had blooms as early as St. Patrick's Day. So, I mean, look at the difference.
Really? And what about you mentioned pruning, but what about pruning roses that are established? Is it the same rule of thumb, which is wait until the last hard frost?
Well, I started pruning if they're protected, but, you know, just like I said, if they're protected, I wait until, you know, someone told me something up here in South Central Illinois, and she's from Indiana, and she said that when the forsythia blooms up here, and that was a pretty good tip, because when the forsythia was blooming was about when the last frost was occurring here. But I really, because of that, losing 14 new roses, and it was March 10th there in Texas when that nor'easter came in, I really wait until I'm sure there's not going to be a hard, hard killing frost. So I start pruning where there's lots of protection, and go to plantmaps.com, go to the USDA plant hardiness, put in your zip code and read when you think the last hard frost, and then protect your plants after to make sure. And if you think there's going to be really hard frost, just make sure that your plants are protected, because that's what does damage, is a killing frost, you know, not just cold weather.
Right, really. All right. Well, you've got a lot of friends, and they've been tweeting. Bren has been tweeting, and Nancy Wallace, and
yes, I just want to give a shout out. You know, it's Brenda Haas of BG Garden. You can really learn a lot by getting out there on Garden Chat, and don't forget about the book giveaway at Nancy Wallace. I just wanted to say you can win. You can register to get the Four Seasons of Roses if you go to wallacegardens.com. I thanks so much for putting that on your website too, Mike.
Sure. We want people to go to Wallace Gardens and perhaps win a rose and get some authentic Haven brand natural brew. Wait, there we go.
Yeah.
From Annie Haven out in California. You can go to my website, mikenovak.net, this week's show, and find all the information. You can link to Susan Fox at gagasgarden.com or tweet her at Gaga's Garden. And we'll have to talk again, especially when the roses are actually growing.
Well, I'd love to talk again. You know, as one of my friends once said, she said, "You can talk all day about roses."
I believe you could. Susan Fox, thank you so much. Enjoy the weather until we get to spring, and I bet your roses will come back strong.
Thank you, Mike. I'm so glad, because of Bren and Garden Chat, that I got to meet you in Chicago. I hope to see you at the next show.
I hope so, too. You have a great Sunday.
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Take care now.
Bye-bye.
Bye.